971theticket.com. I am Evan Jenkins, and I am joined by somebody you will see on your TV during UFC 235. His name is Cody Stamann, and Cody is fighting Alejandro Perez at UFC 235 out in Las Vegas. And why Cody might be important to you is because Cody is from our great state of Michigan out there in Sparta, Michigan, which is by Grand Rapids. This is something that I just learned. Cody, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I can't complain. We were supposed to do this an hour ago, but UFC fighters, they train a lot, right? So I want to know a little bit about your training. Is this like lifting weights, or is this sparring? Is this running? What kind of training?
So the bulk of my training is, I would say, drilling, actually, kind of going through the motions of what you'd actually be doing in a fight. Because obviously, if we were going to spar every day, none of us would ever make it to the actual fight date because we'd all be so banged up and beat up. We would never be able to compete. So the majority of what we do is a kind of a fight simulation, you know, learning the proper techniques and when to apply them. That's the big part of my training. And then obviously conditioning is a big factor. Not so much lifting weights. You know, fighting isn't really about being like muscular or strong per se. It's about having good technique and being able to have a gas tank to where you can perform for 15 solid minutes. And that's not an easy thing to do. You really got to be in good shape to be able to compete, and especially in the UFC.
Oh, absolutely. And you are in UFC 235 that is taking place Saturday, March 2nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And you are filling in because, I want to make sure I say this name right, Song Yadong suffered an injury, right?
Yes, sir.
And you are going against Alejandro Perez. When do you find out, first off, and how do you find out? Is this Dana White calling you? Is it a representative calling you? How do you find out about this?
So Dana White is the actual promoter of the UFC, so he is not the guy that would handle who fights who. There's a guy named Sean Shelby, and he's like basically the number two guy. He's the one. He calls my manager. My manager calls me. I was planning on fighting March 23rd in Nashville, but when this opportunity came up, I didn't hesitate. You know, the Nashville card isn't half as big as the Las Vegas card, and I like fighting in Las Vegas. Most of my fights have been in Las Vegas. I lived in Las Vegas. I'm familiar with the city. There's just a lot. There's a huge upside to fighting in Las Vegas on a bigger card rather than fighting in Nashville a few weeks later. So I'm thinking probably one of a couple of guys that maybe got this phone call and probably the first one to say yes. Against Alejandro Perez, and it makes sense. You know, I'm 10 in the world, he's 12 in the world. So like as far as rankings go, we're pretty close, and you know, it's gonna make for a great fight. I think the fans know it.
Now, do you like that when you get shorter notice for a fight? Because I'm sure you're training all year round. You're not taking too much time off to where, you know, you have to be ready at a moment's notice almost. But do you like it where you don't have to think about it as much, and you can just kind of, you know, like, I'm sure you look at tape of Perez and see what he's all about, but do you like it having a shorter amount of time going into a fight?
So, I mean, the amount of time that I have for this fight, basically, I had been preparing for a March 23rd fight, and I normally train, like, a very, like, disciplined training regimen for 8 weeks prior to a fight. So, 2 months, I mean, no drinking, no anything. I mean, pretty much
no fun.
No fun. I mean, I still have fun. I just,
right, I'm sure.
I'll still go out. I'll do all the things. You know, I don't live that like that. I don't put myself in like a chamber, like a, you know, bubble wrap and hide inside. I still like to go out. I still do normal shit, but I just don't, you know, do anything that's going to potentially jeopardize, you know, my performance. Obviously, you know, I can't drink, I can't do anything, and that, you know, I don't care what you say, going to the bar and not having a beer is not as much fun as it sounds.
No, and I'm sure, because it's funny that you mentioned that. When McGregor fought his last fight, he was drinking at the press conference and everything, and that was like 2 days before.
Right.
That's not something that your average fighter is doing, right?
No.
You don't want to put that in your system a couple days out of a fight.
No, I mean, I've heard that two drinks won't affect your athletic performance. But I think maybe it's more of a mental thing for me. I just like to know that I did everything that I needed to do to, you know, be the best athlete I could on game day.
And now this is going to be your fifth fight in the UFC. And now the UFC is, you know, the WWE of you know, mixed martial arts. It's the, you know, it's the NFL. It's everything. It's the top dog.
Yep.
How do you get that call? Is this as simple as them seeing your fights online, or maybe watching you on TV as you fought here locally in Michigan, and you've been in a couple different organizations? But how does that come about for you? And how, like, is it like I reached the mountaintop, but now I got to go even further?
Right. That's kind of the deal. I mean, it's basically like you said, it's the NFL of fighting. It's the biggest promotion in the world. You know, every fighter's goal is to fight in the UFC and to be the best in the UFC. So what it takes is, you know, I think for me it was about 5 years of fighting in local shows professionally before I got the phone call for the UFC. I was 14-1. I was the number one guy in the U.S. You got to think, like the UFC isn't just an American company. Mm-hmm. It's worldwide. I mean, there's like five guys in the U.S., you know, American-born UFC fighters, you know, in my weight class in the entire world, and there's only like 20 on the whole planet. So it's not an easy task just to get to the UFC. And then when you get there, you have to fight the absolute best guys in the world, the guys that, you know, are from all over the, you know, the planet. And these guys have the exact same mentality, exact same skill sets as you. And then you got to come out victorious, obviously. Otherwise, you know, you're potentially losing your job. So, I mean, it's a rough business. It's not an easy business. And to compete, you know, as a mixed martial artist, you know, I really don't think people give, you know, fighters enough credit. Like, it is a hard. It's different. I mean, it's not like being a football player. I've played football. I've played a lot of other sports. Obviously not at the level that I'm fighting at, but like the diet and the discipline and everything else that comes with being a fighter is totally different than being any other kind of athlete. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm a football player, I can eat whatever I want. As a fighter, I have to make a certain weight, meaning I have to, you know, basically I have to be on a super regimented diet all the time. It's a whole different lifestyle. And, you know, I really enjoy it. I'm a healthy guy anyways, so it doesn't mess with me too much, but it's just a crazy sport. It's absolutely insane. I mean, I could have never really imagined that this is what I'd be doing, but you know, now that I'm here, let's go.
I'm curious how you get into it. I remember watching a VHS of UFC 1 with, you know, Royce Gracie and Dan Severin and guys like that. And is it something that I'm going to assume that you were an amateur wrestler at some point in your life, right?
Yep. That's where I started.
Is it you see it on TV and you're like, I want to do this? Because I know the first time I got punched in the face, I didn't want to get punched in the face again.
Don't like getting punched in the face.
Do you remember the first time? Like, not even in the fight. Maybe you got into a fight in middle school.
I think I got in a
fist
fight, when I was like in middle school. And I think I honestly got beat up. But I don't know, I was probably running my mouth to somebody and big kid beat me up. But for me, it was never like a something I had planned or thought about doing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was an amateur wrestler. I was in high school, college. And then when the UFC kind of started popping up everywhere, there were like local amateur fights everywhere. I started boxing just because, you know, after I finished wrestling, I was, you know, used to being an athlete, used to competing. And it wasn't like I wasn't serious about it. I wasn't trying to like be the best boxer in the world or anything. And I got pretty good at it. I was a decent boxer. And then all these little local MMA events started popping up in my local Grand Rapids area. And I went to one, I watched the guys that were competing, and I thought, like, I have boxing and wrestling experience. I'm pretty sure I can beat these guys up.
Right.
And it was more of like a bucket list thing. I had no intentions of like being a professional fighter. I really hadn't watched it at that point. I wasn't a fan of the sport. And I did it. I did it one time, and it was a whole different thrill. It wasn't like a wrestling match or a boxing match or anything I'd ever done, any kind of competition I'd ever done. It was a whole different adrenaline rush, and I was just hooked. As soon as I did it one time, it was like the craziest drug I'd ever taken. All I wanted to do after that was fight. And, you know, I had 20 amateur fights. I was 19-1. Over a 2-year period, I fought 20 times. And then, you know, when I was 22 years old, I turned professional.
Yeah, and it seems like you've done pretty well. You're 17-2, so yep. I mean that's nothing to yep. scoff at.
That's a labor of love, though. I mean, I love the sport, and you have to.
You have to, right? Because, like I said, getting punched in the face is never fun.
No,
you know, the chance that you could get your arm broken, your leg broken.
Right.
I'm sure you've had broken bones.
Oh yeah.
What is the nastiest injury that you've suffered while fighting? Is it? I mean,
a lot of like bumps and bruises, stuff like that. That's like really, really common. A torn ACL.
Oh yeah, that's a fun one.
But
huh?
that's an injury that I mean,
it could happen anywhere.
A lot of athletes get. I mean, so it's not really specific to fighting. I broke my hand a couple times, but I mean, overall, I mean, I really probably got as many injuries as a fighter as I did as a football player or anything else.
Yeah, and I'm curious about like when you're in the match, right? It's 15 minutes. How much are you really? I mean, getting punched in the face, you're gonna feel it. But are you really feeling it in that moment?
No, or really.
Is it just everything's going.
There's so much adrenaline in there. Like we always say that you don't know how many times you got hit until the next day. And
right.
That's really
what
so
I'm
true.
You wake up and you're
You wake up the next day and you're like, man, my rib hurts, my leg hurts. I don't remember any of this. Like last night, I didn't feel any pain, and now today it's like, oh my gosh, everything's sore. But that's because you know you're just running on such a crazy adrenaline high. But that's one thing that people really don't understand. Everyone thinks that like fighters that they're fighting out of just like raw anger. They're just mad, and they're just like mean guys that like, want to punch everyone. And that couldn't be the furthest from the truth. The thing about being in a fight is that you need to be super relaxed.
Yeah,
you know, you need to be relaxed. You need to be somebody that's, you know, trying to hit a home run. Like, you need to be, like, you know, in the moment and just relaxed and just relying on your, you know, your reaction and your training to carry you through. It's not like it's not an emotional thing. As soon as you get emotional in a fight, you're screwed. You have to be, like, super calm and collected. And that's one thing that people, I just feel like, don't understand.
I'm joined by Cody Stamann, and it's going to be UFC 235, Saturday, March 2nd. And there's a big name that's on that card, John Jones. And John Jones, whether you love him or you hate him, he's been in the news.
You know him.
He's one hell of a fighter, regardless,
he's good.
Right?
Really good.
And I don't know how anybody can take anything away from that, but is there somebody within the UFC or mixed martial arts or somebody like that you got to meet and you're like, holy crap, I'm meeting so-and-so. Have you been starstruck within that? Because, I mean, they're your peers, but at the same time,
potentially
you're your enemy.
Your rival, right?
Yeah.
You know, there was the only guy I think that's really ever that I met that I was kind of like, holy cow, and he's probably the first like famous fighter I met was Uriah Faber.
Okay,
And
I like him.
He was kind of like he was the first good guy at my weight class. So, you know, when I started fighting, I started getting serious. He was the guy I watched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched him. I watched all his fights.
What was he in before the UFC? Because I used to watch him. Gosh, I can't
remember. WEC.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so I was actually fortunate enough. One of the guys I trained with, Darren Cruikshank, got in the Ultimate Fighter. Uriah was his coach. So after Darren got off the show, we all went to California. I got to stay at his house. I met him, hung out with him. Super nice guy. Really, really generous. Nice person. And he was probably the only guy that ever really got starstruck by. I mean, if anything, I could say that John Jones is probably the most unfriendly fighter I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And I think probably all the
antics. Just standoffish, kind of.
And all the antics and things that you see in the media, all the bad things he's done, I can 100% see all those things. Like, because he was, like, a complete asshole when I met him. And it was, like, I was super nice. I was, like, super. Hey, Mr. Jones, can I get up and get a picture with you?
Yeah.
He's kind of like, give me a minute, kid. Like, screw you. And I'm like, well.
It's like, no, I kind of work with you,
and
guy.
I literally just walked away. I was like, screw you, John.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, but that is kind of funny because, I mean, sometimes, you know, humility needs to happen and whether or not it's going to happen. But he'll get humbled one day, that's for sure. And he's been humbled many a times by not being able
to
fight.
He hasn't lost in the cage, but he keeps
losing in life sometimes, it seems like.
Yeah.
And now, so talk to me about, you're going to be in Vegas, right?
Yep.
And I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're on the prelims, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's on ESPN Plus.
Yep, it's on ESPN Live.
It's on ESPN Live.
Yep.
So the fights will be on ESPN Plus.
Yep.
Okay.
The
main card and everything like that. How awesome is it that you're going to be on ESPN fighting? Because, you know, Fox Sports 1 is cool and all.
Yep.
I get it. But ESPN everybody knows ESPN. Mm-hmm. Whether you're looking for a basketball game or whatever, or you're just a generic sports fan, you'll go across it.
Right.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, I headlined a FS1 card. That was cool.
Yes.
But being on ESPN, like you said, it's sports. Like, everyone knows ESPN. Like, you don't know Fox Sports 1 because...
You have to be a pretty big sports fan. Your average Joe isn't going to stumble over.
Yeah, you don't just stumble on that. Like, ESPN, every single person watches, every man on this planet.
Yeah, I mean, moms, wives, daughters, they all know about ESPN.
And if you know, it's just like, I feel like the biggest platform as far as like that you could get to as an athlete, as far as like to showcase your skills. So for me, I mean, it's cool, but I don't really think about that stuff. You know, I don't want to say I don't care because I do care. I think it's cool. You know, I'm happy to be on ESPN, and you know, it's kind of like a dream come true. But you know, in my head, it's just another fight. It's another fight, another opportunity to go out, make some money, and beat somebody up. Nothing crazy. I mean, I think the only fight that I'm really gonna get excited for is, you know, headlining on a pay per view card, just because I know that there's gonna be some extra. Incentives.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, money and everything that comes along with it, notoriety, and having your faces on billboards, and all that promotion that comes along with it, and how. Just a couple more for you. I won't keep you all day, but I get really intrigued by this kind of stuff. And you said you're the number 10 fighter at your weight class, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And you're 17-2.
Mm-hmm.
So how does 10 become 9? 9 become 8? And 8 become number 2 to get you to that.
You got
to
beat those guys. You got to go out there and beat those guys. So I got my number 10 ranking by beating the number 7 guy in the world at the time, Brian Caraway, which was just about almost exactly a year ago to the date that I'll be fighting, March 2nd. That was kind of like my showcase fight, the fight that got me, you know, ranked, you know, put in the top 15 in the world, which is kind of like the... Like if you're in the top 15 in MMA, you're like, there's no one can like kind of argue that you're not one of the best. You know,
right.
You don't just accidentally get there. You have to beat one of those top guys.
And it's not like boxing. I mean, there's just one ranking. It's not the WBO, WBC, all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
There's one promotion, and if you're like the one of the best guys in the world, you're fighting for that promotion. You know, because obviously there's nothing else. I mean, as far as where a real athlete's going to go. Like, there's guys that go from the UFC to other promotions, and they do well, and they make money and stuff, but the best guys in the world are in the UFC, so that's huge. You know, that's like I did it in a year, which is kind of unheard of, but I had a lot of fights, and I'd been very successful outside of the UFC, so I knew that once I got into the UFC that I would be ready to fight, you know, top level guys right away. And, you know, fighting another ranked guy in Alejandro Perez, there's everything on the line. You know, absolutely everything on the line. You know, fighting another guy that's ranked obviously isn't as dangerous as fighting someone that's not ranked, but you know what I mean? I'm fighting a guy that 100% I know is battle tested, and I know the guy can fight, but I mean, at the end of the night, you know, I'm going to do what I always do, and that's get my hand raised and beat this guy up.
So do you have to kind of hate him, like, for these next couple weeks?
Like,
just something to click? I mean, I know it's your job, and it's a business, and it's everything, but there has to be a little something that you're like, God, I just...
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
Find something that you hate about him?
I can't really say that. Like, I personally... I don't know the guy. He might be a great dude, you know?
Sure.
But
maybe you don't like his hair.
Yeah, as far as business goes, like, you know, I'm literally punching something every day with this guy's face in mind. Like, he...
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's in the way. I look at a guy like, I'm not one of the guys that, like, shakes hands and does all these things before the fight. Like, after the fight, we can shake hands. I'll buy a beer. You know what I mean? Before the fight, though... Like, I mean, you're my competition, and anytime, like, if you're a real competitor and you're in a real competition, like, there's no, like, I'm not going to have any issues, you know, beating this guy up. It's kill or be killed when you get in the cage, and that's really the mentality you need to have. Like, 100%, you know, when you get in there, his objective is to hurt me worse than I can hurt him. That's a fight. And so for me, I wouldn't say I hate the guy, but listen, there's nothing I wouldn't do to, like, inflict pain on him when we get locked in that cage.
For sure. Now, what the hell scares Cody Stamann? What? I mean, does a spider scare you?
No.
I mean, because you are in the ultimate sport.
No,
it's
I mean,
literally mano a mano.
I don't want to say I'm not scared of anything. I guess disappointing people I care about, I would say.
Okay,
I mean,
so
there's not really, I don't really have like a, I don't really have like car accidents scare me.
Right. Okay. I'm just
nothing,
wondering because.
Yeah, I don't have like a phobia. Actually, you know what? I really don't like mice.
Okay. There we go. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I really don't like mice.
All
something
right,
about
so
them just
Alejandro
freak me
doesn't
out.
Hear this and let one loose in the
yeah,
ring
if he
before.
Lets a mouse go, I'm gonna run. I will cut and run if I see a mouse.
Right. Okay. So that's what I want to know. And now, how do you feel about quote unquote part time fighters? And the example that I'm going to bring up is Brock Lesnar. Right. He's a huge name. He got his name, you know, collegiate wrestling, WWE, UFC, became champ, WWE, went back to UFC, lost, WWE, went back to UFC, won, in a kind of a, in lack of a better term, in a shit fight. That Hunt guy was nothing. He didn't deserve to be in there, but sold pay-per-views and everything.
Right.
And now the talk that he could fight Daniel Cormier. Is that something you want to see? Because you got to be a fan.
Right. I am a fan. I'm a huge fan of MMA. I would like to see it because I'm a fan of Daniel Cormier. I would like to see Daniel Cormier like whoop his ass and you know, take away any notoriety. But the thing about fighting is that if people want to see it, it doesn't matter if you're Michael Jordan, you know what I mean, and you have no fighting experience whatsoever. Like, I feel like if it brings eyes to the sport and people want to watch it, like the McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight, I 100% told everyone, I was like, listen, McGregor can't beat Floyd in a boxing match. This is not. He can't. But he's making people believe that he can. There's like, oh, there's a chance he could win. Even though I'm like, listen, like, he's not a boxer. It's a different sport. Like, I know what's going to happen. Floyd's not going to do anything, and then Alcine's going to knock him out. And that's exactly how it went down. I'm like, but at the same time, I was intrigued because it was like, what if? You know, that what if factor.
Exactly.
So if... I feel like if people want to see it, if people want to see a fight, make it happen. You know what I mean? I don't care if he's part-time, full-time. The only part-time fighters I don't like are the kids that are on Facebook that, you know, get in one amateur fight or go to an MMA gym, and next thing you know, they're like a UFC fighter. You know how often I get asked that? Oh, you're a UFC fighter? Oh, my cousin's a UFC fighter. And I'm like, really? Because I'm the only one in Michigan. Where's your cousin from? Oh, he lives... You know, in Taylor, I'm like, well, he's not a UFC fighter. He's a
MMA fighter in a barn somewhere.
Exactly. But the people don't understand, like, the UFC did such a good job of branding itself.
Oh,
everyone
that you
thinks
think of MMA as UFC.
Like, it's not, like, football's a sport. The NFL is the promotion.
Yeah, you wouldn't say I'm an NFL player. I'm a football player.
Yeah, you play football. Yes. Like, I fight MMA, but my employer is the UFC. Like, but people are just like, yeah, you're a UFC fighter. I'm like, I am, but that's two different things.
The last thing I want to know is, you know, he's Cody Stamann. He is fighting Alejandro Perez at UFC 235. It's Saturday, March 2nd. You're going to want to watch. It's on ESPN, so you don't have to spend any money to see my man Cody fight. But tell me about those few days out in Las Vegas. I'm sure you're there before the fight a few days, and I'm sure you're still training, keeping your head straight.
Yep.
But there's a lot of distractions, so I don't know how close you stay to the strip. I mean, it's at T-Mobile Arena, which is really cool. It's not at the MGM where they always used to be.
Yep.
And this is a big arena. You know, this is 15,000 seats.
I fought there three times.
It's got to be awesome.
Awesome. It's
but
awesome.
How do you stay away from distraction, and then what do you do after that fight? Because I'm going to assume you're going to be victorious.
Yep.
I'm sure you're going to go out. Maybe you're going to go to MGM. Maybe you're going to gamble. Maybe you're going to go to a club. I want to know, what do you do to celebrate? Or do you just go back to your hotel and rethink everything?
So I'll run a house out there. I'll bring a bunch of guys that you know, I train with out with me to Las Vegas. You know, we'll hang out pretty much all week. I'll go train at the UFC Performance Institute, do whatever media obligations I have to do, make weight, you know, probably have dinner that night before the fight. You know, fight day, pretty much breakfast, go to the venue, get ready to fight. After the fight, you know, I'll probably have a few more media obligations. And then after that, 100% I'm going out. I'm going out. We normally, the last couple times, I went to the Hyde Bellagio.
Mm-hmm.
I like that place. That's it's smaller, but It's cool if you have like a group of people. So we'll get bottle service there and celebrate a win. And then Sunday I'll be nursing a hangover.
maybe a black eye.
Yeah, a couple black eyes, a hangover. And then we'll head home and do the same thing again until next time.
Wow, this is awesome. All right, his name is Cody Stamann. He's here from the beautiful state of Michigan. It's UFC 235, Saturday, March 2nd, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. You're going to fight Alejandro Perez, and everybody needs to watch this fight.
It should be awesome. It'll be a good fight. He's a scrappy dude. I'm a scrappy dude.
Good.
And, we're going to put on a show for people.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Cody. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome, dude.